Are you ready to shoot the shift? What's up, shifters and light guardians? Thank you so much for joining in for another very special Shooting the Shift live team podcast that we do on Instagram every Monday at 4 p.m. EDT. Again, these are available on Spotify as well as on YouTube afterwards, and you can go back and check out past ones there. And this is a really cool opportunity for us to be able to practice coming together as a community to shoot the shift, to just kind of casually be able to hang out under these metaphysical branches of knowledge that we exist under, and to be able to just have some fun and to be able to explore a variety of topics ranging to metaphysics and consciousness, and of course to be able to also chat with some of the fellow conscious creators and seekers live in our community as well. So Bartosz, yo, what's up, dude? For anybody who's tuning right now, for our Patreon members, if you guys want to jump in on air as we get rolling, please, by all means, Bartosz, if you want to jump on air, dude, I would love to be able to welcome you on. And with this broadcast, again, being impromptu, there's a little bit of a format for today. I do have a very particular topic that I want to be able to get into today, and it's the rules that have been handed down about being human from ancient Sanskrit, which is very interesting. So if you haven't seen this yet, I'm going to kind of like read through it, and we'll just read through it one by one. And this is something that I just kind of came across, and I'm kind of curious just to be able to explore it. So that's how we'll start off today's Shooting the Shift broadcast. I'm just going to kind of get into this topic myself, and for anybody who's tuned in right now, if you guys feel inspired to be able to send an invite to join me on air, more than welcome to. You can wait until we get things rolling. Wheezy, thank you so much for joining in. Bartosz, thank you for joining in. Some of our leading members there in the chat. And yeah, for either of you guys, if you guys want to jump up on air as we get going, please, by all means, go ahead. We'll go for about an hour. And yeah, thank you again, everyone who's listening to this live and in the future, and enjoy. And hopefully at this point, for those of you listening to this on Spotify, we've upgraded the audio quality. So for those of you on Instagram, be sure to listen in on Spotify as well for the higher quality version of the audio recording. So if you guys are here and you guys are happy to be able to just join in some of the shift, go ahead and drop some 11 lemons in the chat, and let's get right into today's topic. At least this first topic to start off with, that's kind of like the journey of this. It's like, let's get into this and then just see where the synchronicity leads us. So you know me, I can babble on all day about this type of stuff. So I'll just get things rolling, and then again, we'll have some community members join in as we go. So this was a meme that I saw earlier today, and it was posted, and the meme is basically a list of 12 rules for being human that have been handed down from ancient Sanskrit. And the reason why I wanted to use this as a place to start the discussion is because I felt it really resonated. I'm like, yep, that's something I resonate. That's something I agree with. That's something I experience. That's something I see. So I'll kind of go through these. The first one is, you will receive a body. And I'll just read through the list first, and then we'll kind of go back and just kind of dive a little bit deeper into these. And some I'm sure we'll explore a little bit more than others. So the first one, you will receive a body. You will learn lessons. That's the second one. Number three, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Again, even just as I'm reading this, I'll just set an intention here. I really invite you guys to like really just kind of listen with this. Listen with your heart, listen with your soul, and just check in with yourself. So again, these are rules for being human that have been handed down from ancient Sanskrit. And in ancient Sanskrit, like for those of you who just may not be entirely certain, is related to like the Hinduism and everything, that spiritual perspective. So which is one of the spiritual beliefs that I've always felt like a strong resonance with. Maybe in a past life, like Hinduism was something like closer to my being, and maybe we've all been like monks at some point in our life, be they Hindu or otherwise. So let me just go through this again. Rules 1 to 12. Number 1, you will receive a body. Number 2, you will learn lessons. Number 3, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Again, I'm going to kind of go through each one. And for anybody who wants to jump in, you guys can jump in at any point. Number 4, a lesson will be repeated until it is learned. Number 5, learning lessons does not end. Number 6, there's no better than here. And here is in like quotation marks, like here, like this present moment of here. Number 7, others are merely mirrors of you. Number 8, what you make of your life is up to you. Again, I'm just kind of like, there's a decent list here. And again, it's interesting because like where, you know, shooting the shift about this for me really just comes into the fascination that, you know, again, like this is, this is like coming from like a source of knowledge where a lot of like intention and meditation has been put into kind of like creating this list. And so with this, you know, it's like, out of all the things that are important in life, like it's not fast automobiles, it's not like, you know, like owning a giant mansion or something like that. These are the lessons. Like these are, again, almost like the base code for this reality, kind of. It's like part of the code of the simulation, if you think about it. And simulation being a topic that we covered in a recent podcast on the Paradigm Shift Circles. But let me just keep reading here. So again, number 7, others are merely mirrors of you. Number 8, what you make of your life is up to you. Just kind of like read these one at a time. Welcome again, everybody. Number 9, life is exactly what you think it is. Number 10, your answers lie inside of you. Number 11, this is the kicker. Number 11, you will forget all of this. Number 12, you can, then this is like the real, this is like the twist at the end. You can remember it whenever you want. So again, I'm going to totally just kind of explore some of these topics. For those of you in the chat, if you guys want to jump in on air for our Patreon members, go ahead and send an invite as we just kind of explore this. And you guys are welcome to just use this as a place to practice sharing from your heart. Even if you come on, you don't even have to stay for the entire thing. So if you just want to come on for a bit and be like, yeah, sure, let's just chat about it together. Again, I'm just shooting the shift. I'm more than happy to be able to just kind of like shoot the shift here with even just, if it is just me on air and you guys are in the chat, we're still chatting in that format. So let's dive a little bit deeper. And again, for those of you who want to join in on air at any point, go ahead and feel free. And again, for any of the Patreon members, you guys are definitely most welcome. So number one, let's kind of go back through it. So number one, you will receive a body. Number two, you will learn lessons. Number three, there are no mistakes, only lessons. So it's interesting because again, you know, these are the rules for being human. So if you're going to be human, like these are the following things that will happen. Like it's like you don't get to be human unless these are a part of the experience. But again, it's like the dynamics of the experience. It's like, oh, so you want to be a human, eh? All right, rule number one, you got to have a body. Rule number two, you will learn lessons. And you know, for a lot of the conversations that we do here within Paradigm Shift Central and everything, so much of it is about us sharing the journey of our lessons. You know, this idea of lessons, like what are lessons, right? So this is where you can really just kind of get philosophical. And I feel lessons in themselves are the process of the soul becoming more aware of its surroundings and its relationship to them. And like, it's not just the external, it's like the internal. What's the equivalent of the word surroundings when we're referring to the internal? Like the landscape of our interior world as well. So, you know, even this idea of having a body is quite interesting. Yo, Bartosz jumping in again. Bartosz, if you want to jump in, man, please, by all means. So even like the idea of having a body, right? And I'm just kind of breaking this down. It's interesting. This is like, I'm having fun just talking about this. This is like my jam, man. And I know it's your guy's jam too, just talking about this stuff. Even the concept of you will receive a body, right? Like even that is interesting because it's like, well, yes, you will receive a physical body and an etheric body, an astral body, a mental body. You know, like when you look at the Gnostic teachings, it actually talks about the different bodies. So even in this, you know, this coming down from like ancient Sanskrit, I'm sure in some ways in the original text, it's probably like you will receive a body within this physical dimension, but you are also multiple bodies beyond the corporeal as well. So just kind of bouncing through here, there are no mistakes, only lessons. So I like that idea. It's like you will learn lessons. There are no mistakes, only lessons. They go hand in hand, right? So this concept in itself, it's like, wait, you know, it's like this very powerful phrase. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn, or something like that, right? It's basically that. So opposed to saying sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, it's like, do you only like, and this is another quote, I'm just kind of hashing them together, but relatively speaking, it's like you, I forget what it was exactly, but it was more or less something along the lines of like, you only lose if you didn't learn or something like that. Meaning, you know, and then it goes into the next one. A lesson will be repeated until it is learned. So it's like, are you ever not learning or are you just delaying the inevitable process of learning? It's just like, how stubborn of a conscious being are you? And not to say stubborn in like a, like, that's an interesting word that comes to mind. Because again, I don't think stubbornness is actually what we always are. We are stubborn at times, but again, you know, it's more so this process that for whatever reason, for some of us, it will take multiple cycles to be able to learn something. And it's almost as if, like, you know, each cycle adds on to the next. But I think the only reason why it takes more cycles for some things and less for others is due to the degree of our self-awareness. So it's like the cycles are the track. The self-awareness is like the thing that we're capable of initiating. So, you know, in that context, one of the things that's interesting about moving through this life is the idea that you will, as you evolve your consciousness, you'll actually have the ability to go through lessons sooner rather than later. Meaning an old version of you that might have been less conscious, you know, it's like some like ridiculous scenario where, you know, it's just like your ability to be able to, it's your ability to be able to like recognize, again, it's self-awareness, it's consciousness, it's ability to be able to observe patterns, to observe your nature within those patterns. And in the process of doing so, it's like coming from the process of like the desire to want to be able to move into those higher parts of yourself. So the idea of like learning is really the idea of peeling back the layers of our onion, whatever you want to say it. But it's also like I think of it, this is what I think the onion metaphor kind of has its limits. Nothing against onions. I love onions. Believe me, I love cooking with onions, caramelized onions all night long, please. But rather than just thinking of our life as like an onion, I think it's more kind of like a pine cone. And it's like the pine cone like opening up from heat. So, which is very much like the metaphor for the pineal gland. So heat, aka, you know, like friction, but also resistance. But with that resistance, it's actually like lessons. You know, what we recognize as lessons, there are some lessons that are like easy peasy. Not sure when the last time I've ever said easy peasy was, but apparently I just did it now. But nonetheless, you know, some lessons, they're just like, I mean, a lesson is a relative context. Like, is every experience a lesson? Is the lesson to simply be present with each moment? Is that the lesson? But if that's the case, you know, I think, again, it's easy to understand that the goal is to open up our pine cone. And so how do we open up our pine cone? If we're just kind of stagnant and the environment's never changing, you know, the pine cone, it doesn't necessarily open. The pine cone opens under heat. Like this is an actual thing. Like some pine cones, they actually only open from forest fires. Like it is the forest fire itself that actually opens the pine cone and brings about new trees. So that's where, you know, we get into this whole process. That's a whole different topic in itself and everything, right? For those of you just joining in, we're just shooting the shift right now. We're talking about rules for being human handed down from ancient Sanskrit. Rule one, you will receive a body. Rule two, you will learn lessons. Rule three, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Rule four, a lesson will be repeated until it is learned. Rule five, learning lessons does not end. So just that group in itself. Hey, Agnes, thank you again, everyone, for joining in. There's like five rules there that are all about lessons. And so again, you know, for us, a simple metaphor that really just hits at home is this idea of being able to identify that we're students, you know, like we are students of the cosmos. And so from this perspective, the metaphor of lessons is very relative, because it's like, are you paying attention as a student? The universe is a school, and it's like the teachers are your guides, but they're not always like in the front of the classroom. It's like the school is your, you know, your classroom is your environment. Your classroom is both the internal and the external landscape. And so the teachers, aka like the universe embodied through itself, through these archetypes that we recognize as teachers and things, you know, they in themselves, like they are here to help us remember, which literally gets to the bottom rule, right? The 12th rule in this, you can remember it whenever you want. So the teacher is like, I can't tell you everything, but I can help you remember. And I'll help you remember by actually presenting these lessons to you. And so our role is to remember that we're a student, and then in the process of remembering we're a student, then we'll start to remember more about like what this awakening of consciousness means to us. Yes, raw member, right? Like in earlier, today's tarot is all about like being the sun. So yes, remember to re-bring things together. So the bringing together of like the physical body and the etheric body, the spiritual body. So in that context, like, yes, you know, like rules for being human, a big rule for being human is to understand that you are a student. And that's like a thing where like, if you choose to perceive it from this way, it's like, man, it's like your soul agreed to this, like your soul agreed to be able to like come into this incarnation to be a student. And what's interesting is that like the curriculum is holographic to the students, right? So it's like every single student has their own curriculum. And so again, you know, the goal in this is to be able to make our way through the grades, make our way through the classrooms, and to know that it's never, and that's the thing, right? Like, it's not like, it's a very personal journey. It's a hero's journey individually. So, you know, like your classroom is not something that you need to worry about comparing to somebody else's classroom. The trick, and this is actually rule number six, you can see how this is weaving a story. There is no better than here. So if you're wherever you are within your lesson, your grade XYZ, it doesn't even matter. Like, don't even try putting a number on it, because it's like, how do you put a number on infinity? You're like, you're in the middle of infinity right now. Like, what do you call that number, right? So dropping 11-11, if that resonates with you. For me, that, I don't know, that just kind of shifted my paradigm. I'm like, yeah, we're right in the middle of infinity right now. It's pretty cool. So tomorrow we'll still be there. So, you know, within this concept, it's important to be able to focus on where you are. Be where you are. That is where you are meant to be. And it's not like, and to just be like, oh, well, I didn't learn the lessons fast enough. It's like, well, it sounds like you're actually quite conscious enough the fact that you are learning the lessons moving forward, though. You know, like, however you learned the lessons in the past, it might not have been graceful. Like, we've all done that, you know, like rarely do we make it through this life completely gracefully. No, we stumble and we smash and we knock things over and we collapse, and you know, people come in, they're just like, you okay? Like, do you need a spirit guide? Be like, you good? And you're just like, I'm good, yeah, you know. So the journey in itself is, again, you know, within this process of being able to really honor being here now, it's also, again, goes next with the next rule, which is others are merely mirrors of you. Others are merely mirrors of you. So if you see someone who's like at a point in their journey where, you know, like this might have been you a while ago looking at someone else, and you might have seen a video of someone, or you might have met someone in person, and you're just like, whoa, like it feels like you got your shift together. Like you're pretty chill. Like you're pretty zen. Like you're pretty like, you know, kind of like in this, like, are you in the present moment right now? Like, I can feel you in the present moment right now. Is that what this is? You got like this like aroma to you. What is that? And then, you know, you're talking to like some like person who's like, I'm just in the present moment, dude. Like, and so, you know, with this, when we see others kind of in these states of consciousness, and that's such a powerful thing of what it means to be human, is the ability to be human is to be able to shift through different states of consciousness, eventually at will, relatively speaking, which is what many of us can do. That's what meditation is. Meditation is moving into a different state of consciousness with will. The ability to have flexibility to do that at any point, like, that's a big thing we can talk about another day. I'll talk to my buddy Chris about that. He'll tell you all about that. So this idea of when we see others as a mirror of us, to me, that's very important, because I think when we look to someone that we admire, you know, for those of you listening right now, like, what is admiration to you? Like, reflect on that. What is admiration to you? Like, we're having a conversation right now. You guys are just like, we're just sitting around. We're just all like zoned in right now. You guys are listening. I can like feel you talking, even if you're not here in the broadcast with me directly. What does it like when you appreciate someone, or when you admire someone, what does that mean to you? And I'll share just again, you know, for me, admiration is very, very worthwhile thing, very notable thing, because I think admiration is this idea of being able to like see something inside someone else that we wish to see in ourselves. Yet, in the process of acknowledging that we see that something in someone else, once you kind of get to this idea that everything is a mirror, that statement literally implies that whatever you admire in someone else is in you. And that's a shift, man. Like, that's a game changer. You know, you suddenly look at someone and you're just like, whoa, like, you're pretty cool and calm and collected, and I really like your vibe right now. And then you're just like, that is in me, can be more present within me. It's a vibration, it's a frequency, it's a state of awareness. I can align myself with that. I can birth it within me. You know, I can bring, that's the pine cone opening again. The pine cone opening, you know, whereas once it was just kind of like this tenseness, eventually it opens, and then, you know, that's where you begin to open up to the states that have already been in you. It's just more of the lotus expanding. Does this make sense for you guys? Feel free to, again, I hope I'm doing a moderately decent job of just conceptualizing the ineffable here. Hopefully, are you not entertained? So, moving forward with some of the lessons here, what you make of your life is up to you. What you make of your life is up to you. Now that's very interesting, and I think that one is actually probably one that a lot of people struggle with. Because, you know, what you make of life is up to you. I think that's going to be a very relative one, and something that you want to be like very gentle and delicate with. Because a lot of people would see that and say like, "Well, what you make of your life is up to you." And they'll be like, "Well, I didn't choose my environment. Like, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this. I didn't choose to be born with this brain or born with this body." Whatever the case may be, you know? However, I think what you make of your life is up to you is goes hand in hand with also being able to understand that who you are is important and who you are matters, whoever you are. Like that is very important with this idea of what you make of your life is up to you. And to be able to really deeply connect with this like self-worth of being able to understand that who you are has a purpose. And like on behalf of the universe for everybody tuned in right now, I send you that message. Like you do have a purpose. And therefore, what your life is what you make it, what you make of your life is up to you. At that point, for me, and I'll just share this with you guys, and I hope it inspires you. At that point, you know, what you make of your life is up to you. The simple answer for that is opportunity. Your life is an opportunity. Your life is an opportunity to make it into what you want to be able to make it up to you, to what you make of your life is up to you. Your life is an opportunity, though. So, like that for me, where it's like, okay, yes, I have purpose. Boom, locked into that. Let's go. Maybe I don't fully know what my purpose is, but I know I have one. And therefore, that in itself, plus surrounding yourself with other amazing people who are also in the process of making their life what's up to them. Again, that's to be able to really, that power goes hand in hand with the power of being able to choose how to see things. Like that is like the core of what a paradigm shift is. A paradigm shift is literally the process of being able to determine in any moment that you have the choice to choose how you respond, that you have the choice to return to control how you react. So this is this idea that, you know, what you make of your life is up to you. This isn't necessarily implying that you have absolute full control over everything that happens in your life. No, not necessarily from one degree of this multidimensional reality. But you do have the capacity to be able to decide what you make of your life is up to you from the perspective of how you choose to see it. And so, you know, this goes back to this very powerful concept. Love you for me reiterate this multiple times, but you know, very simple, very powerful idea. There are two ways to be able to see things in life. You can either choose to see it from a disempowering perspective or choose to see it from an empowering perspective. In any situation, there is a way where you can choose to see it from an empowering perspective. That does not mean that it cannot be disempowering and empowering at the same time. That does not mean that you just simply want to dismiss the lessons that are at hand. However, going back to the idea of the lessons, you know, when you understand that, it's a great opportunity to go back to the previous ideas where it's like, start looking for the lessons. Ah, you start getting curious. Okay, my life is what I make it. I'm going to choose to see it from an empowering perspective. And with that, knowing that everything's a lesson, you start getting curious, start looking for the lessons. What happens if you actually, how radically different does it make your life if you suddenly start developing this habit within your self-consciousness where when things happen, you are instinctually reflecting on this idea of, you know, like, what is the lesson here? Is there an important lesson here? There are going to be times where you're just going to be going with the flow. You're not always going to be like, oh no, I ran out of toilet paper. What's the lesson? Oh no. Like you can make things like dramatic if you want, but in those moments where, particularly when you are challenged, you know, to be able to just begin processing that idea of, you know, okay, there's a lesson here. You accept that. What is the lesson? Oh, maybe I should have bought more toilet paper ahead of time. Like if that's the simple lesson, then that's the simple lesson. This isn't always going to be like some sort of like metaphysical like marvel that you're going to like unwrap before you. Sometimes it might be simple. Sometimes it might mean, you know, like look both ways before you do whatever you're doing sort of thing. So life is exactly what you think it is. And so this is a very, very empowering idea as well. This is number nine. Are you guys having fun? Is this good? I know a lot of you guys are just like listening in right now, so which is fine. Like I almost kind of feels like I used to do like presentations back in the day in person for Paradigm Shift and everything like that. So this is kind of, I mean, I know I do my tarot and stuff, but this is a little bit different. So this is fun. Yeah, the ability to look for the lesson changed my life for real. Very good, Wheezy. Very good. Yeah, that's exactly it, right? So like that's the whole idea is that, you know, this is something that I think you can understand, like, that's why I really wanted to share this today, because I was, like, reading through this, I'm like, whoa, like, this summarizes it. Like, these 12 rules for being human handed down by ancient Sanskrit. So that's a good job of summarizing it. And so just to continue summarizing it, life is exactly what you think it is. Now, this is interesting. Life is exactly what you think it is. If you guys want to share how you interpret that in the chat, please, by all means, like this, you guys chat here, I'll keep sharing your comments. Life is exactly what you think it is. So that basically kind of goes in hand with what I was saying, where it's like, if you think it's an empowering experience, it'll be an empowering. If you think it's a disempowering experience, it'll be disempowering. If you think that, you know, like, unfortunately, like, there's, you know, like, XYZ circumstance and you can't do anything about it, then you probably won't be able to do anything about it. But if you're just like, where there's a will, there's a way, then you will program yourself towards that direction. Yo, Joshua, what's up, dude? We're going over the 12 rules handed down from ancient Sanskrit. Joshua, if you want to jump into, please, by all means. It's just been me solo right now, but we've just been mobbing it real hard. Mobbing it. That's like a California term. Let's mob it. All right. But yes, this is interesting. I do want to dive into this real quick. Joshua, I'll bring you on in 2 seconds. Let me just finish this thought. Your life is exactly what you think it is. So again, you know, in that process, like, it's being able to acknowledge that, like, the thinking there is a key word. Thinking. Thought. What is thought? Thought is direction. Thought is focus. So if you think it is something, that is you directing your focus towards an outcome. And navigating that to the best of your ability. Now, what you think it is may involve a little twist and turn along the way, but if you think that this is going to be an opportunity that empowers my soul and spirit, then you program yourself to be able to move towards things with that perspective, with that directive. If you think that there are lessons in this opportunity for you, then you will program yourself to be able to see those. You know, so it's like, if you don't look for it, you don't see it. But that's where, again, the free will comes in hand, because I'm sure there was a time where many of us, we were going through things and we weren't really consciously thinking our way through it. We were going through it, but we weren't, like, consciously, like, thinking about what the lesson is and thinking about how I need to learn things. Sometimes the lesson actually comes way later, where it's like this close to your face and you're like, oh, now I get it. Like, or, you know, relatively speaking. But again, you know, it's kind of that thing. It's like, how many times does the universe have to, like, go like this until you can start being like, oh, I can see that from a mile away now. And then, you know, you sway your way left and right, sort of thing. Joshua, I'll bring you up on air. We'll go over the lessons, the rules for being human handed down by ancient Sanskrit. We'll go over it again, because I'm not sure if you heard it earlier. And then we still got a couple more to be able to go to, which are actually two of my favorite. For everybody here, please feel free to welcome Joshua Foss onto the broadcast. He's one of our leading members. Super excited to be able to bring him on. Always down. And yeah, we're bringing them on right this second. So thank you again, everyone, for joining in. This is our Shooting This Your Broadcast, live Monday, Friday. Monday at 4 p.m. EDT each week. Joshua, yo, what's up, dude? Thanks so much for joining in.
Hey, man. Thanks for the invite.
Beautiful.
Well, awesome. Many blessings.
Yes, man. With this topic, we've been going through the list so far. Do you want me to read through the list for you real quick?
Sure,
and
yeah.
I'll read through it real quick, and I'll just kind of give you, like, a reiteration. So, rules for being human handed down from ancient Sanskrit. So again, like ancient, like Hindu texts. Rule number one, you will receive a body. Rule number two, you will learn lessons. Rule number three, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Rule number four, a lesson will be repeated until it is learned. Rule number five, learning lessons does not end. Rule number six, there is no better than here. Rule number seven, others are merely mirrors of you. Rule number eight, what you make of your life is up to you. Rule number nine, life is exactly what you think it is. Rule number 10, your answers lie inside of you. Rule number 11, you will forget all of this. And rule number 12, you can remember it whenever you want. So, yeah, dude, we were just chatting about up till life is exactly what you think it is. And then number 10, the one after that, is your answers lie inside of you, which is cool because we've had those conversations before, dude. Maybe anything that I said, but whatever's on your heart, man, please feel free to shoot the shift with us for a little bit. And if you want to dive into that next one, we can go through the last three together. So
totally.
Go ahead, man.
that's so perfect. Yeah, no, yeah, it's like the understanding of karma, right? It's like you, the stone of your, of the thoughts, but deeper than just like the shallowness of one's thoughts. It's like the deep beliefs of our identity that create our reality. So the ancient understanding of the karma, right? It's like the stone in the water, and then the ripples go out and they kind of like come back. But I think, yeah, it's just like when we constantly live in the ripples, we don't see the water. Like we don't see like this. And that's, for me, it's like, and in order for us to like really be able to understand how to use these metaphysical understandings, because they're just like tools, right? We have to still our minds. and even when we learn those lessons, sometimes it's like the way that I was talking about it earlier is like, you can learn the lesson and actually transmute the karma and still, like, I call it a ripple. It's like you get a reflection back that's actually like a ripple of something that you're resolving in your field. And depending on in that moment, how you respond to it, how you choose to respond to it, has the ability to completely shift the paradigm like that. Yeah.
That's what we were talking about, man. Like one of my favorite things about, you know, just like being able to dive deeper into the topics of like metaphysics and spirituality and consciousness is that once we begin to realize like how much of it is, again, you know, like the act of thought, the act of will, the act of mind, it literally gets to this point where, you know, literally like your life can change like in an instant. Like your life can change with like a single thought. And like with that thought, again, it's kind of like opening up like a whole new branch of possibility that, you know, it's like a door that you kind of walk through kind of thing. So, right. You know, with this, again, the one that we left off on, your answers lie inside of you. I love that where, again, you know, you're right. Like, cause like with that, you know, for a lot of people, I think that's a big part of the journey, to be able to get to that point where they've experienced enough that they can start to trust, that they can start to trust themselves, that they can start to trust the universe, especially like when we were young. Again, you know, it's like our consciousness was at a relative state because we almost didn't have the experiences that like soften us, that kind of like soften us, where it's just like, whoa, like I can see where this led me in retrospect. You know, if we're going through it for the first time, it's very hard to understand this concept of the answers lie inside of you. It's kind of like, you know, you're pushing someone out of an airplane and you're just like, it's like assuming the parachute works sort of thing. But if you've done it before, then eventually, you know, you get to this point where it's like, you're kind of like, you are jumping out of that airplane, but you know that, you know, the metaphysical parachute, aka just kind of like the will of some sort of universal force that you can align yourself with, it's there. It still freaks you out sometimes, but it's there.
And I think some of us, like starseeds coming to Earth, it's like you're on a grand skydive, but maybe until halfway through, you don't even know that there's a parachute.
Basically, it seems that way. Absolutely, dude. So, yeah. But yeah. Mason, what's up, dude? I can see you joining in on Instagram. If you want to jump in for this, Mason, I'm sure you would have something to say on this. We're going over the basic rules for being human handed down from ancient Sanskrit. Number 11, there's only two more, but we can just kind of keep going back and forth on this. Number 11, you will forget all of this. And number 12, you can remember it whenever you want. So that in itself is like, that's such a core part of like this journey of spiritual awakening. You know, a lot of people, they literally talk about going through this experience of like remembering, you know, like I remember when I was going through my own process, like it wasn't so much a process of learning something new, but remembering something that I felt I already known, where I wasn't reading it in books. The trippiest thing was when things were happening to me, I was like coming to my own understanding, and then I would read it in a book, or then I would see it in from like some like
just
things
that
I didn't even
this.
Know existed. Like,
No, it was the same for me. And actually, like, my original stuff, like, I would be, like, going out into the yard and attempting to make, like, chi balls as a kid. And, like, honestly, my entry to magic was, like, through, like, Harry Potter and Dragon Ball Z and, like, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's interesting because because as a kid, I was very tuned in to the underworld and the dream realms and, like, all this stuff, and like then I went through that amnesia. So it's kind of like we're all like a macrocosm of the overall experience of consciousness. Like, we're all coming from an age where the veils are very thick, and now as we're approaching the golden age, the veils are thinning. So we're having more access to these codes of like higher consciousness more consistently. And I remember like when I turned 18 and I started to like remember, or even awakening, it's kind of more like reawakening, because it's already there. It's like, I just like I didn't even know what meditation was, but then like I started to watch my thoughts and still my mind, and then eventually I like there was this thing called meditation, and or just stuff that I would like do with like movements and stuff with my breath and other stuff, and then it got me, I started looking at like Qigong and Taoist inner alchemy, and I'm like, oh, this is trippy. You look at like all these different energy work practices all over the world, and you can just see that they're very similar. Like, they all have a very, very common understanding of the subtle body. So it's kind of like, you know, that's where you start to look at like the forgetting and the remembering thing. I mean, like, where did these spiritual practices come from? Where did these yogic understandings come from? It's like, it was literally just like an avatar that like remembered and could see and then communicate that, you know, and we're all avatars, like, you know, Avatar Aang learns how to master all the elements, but when he first wakes up from the ice, he doesn't even remember what had happened because he was frozen
in time. Right. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, like even again, Flo's joining in, we're talking about rules for being human handed down from ancient Sanskrit. And yeah, you know, again, like with these rules, like these rules are in many ways like universal rules. Like if you were to just put a human in any sort of circumstance over time, would they come to this realization? Again, this idea that, you know, like there will be lessons. You will repeat these lessons. Lessons do not end. There's no better place in here. So again, being in the present moment, others are merely mirrors of you. So again, like the namaste reflection of consciousness within each other. What you make of your life is up to you. Life is exactly what you think of it is, the power of the thought. Your answers lie inside of you. So again, that's like the holographic awareness of that. That for me has always been such a powerful thing, where it's like, wait a second, like my intelligence is not just limited to like the mere things that I've experienced within this reality. Like our intelligence is like a field that is connected to, you know, and it's this human body, this, you know, again, the first rule, you will receive a body. Well, it's like, dude, this body's pretty freaking dope, man. Like this body's like a multidimensional like spaceship that we can use to literally travel through realms. Quite more literally than we're still, you know, like there's a whole topic there about people that have, you know, activated light bodies and flown around in the sky with their Merkabas lit up and stuff like that.
Just to say, I'm actually at this, in Ojai, at this place, we just did a retreat with this movement that's going off called Light Body Love.
Yeah.
And it was super powerful. Yeah, especially like when we gather, when the mirrors are clear, when you gather with people of a similar frequency who are doing the inner work, it's like that reflection and those inner lessons, it becomes like hyper synchronicity.
Absolutely.
So I think that's part of what we're doing when we come together, is we're creating a field of coherence. You know, it's kind of like the Maharishi effect. It's like, you know, you get however many thousand people to meditate, and then the crime rate goes down 7%. Now that's great. So what I say is that what we do on the mat or what we do on the cushion is the practice, and that life is the yoga, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what we're learning to do is this is literally, Earth is like a mystery school. It's like, it's where souls come to master themselves and their consciousness through our spacesuit. So it's kind of like, what we're doing is we're basically learning how to hold the energy, hold the frequency as we walk. So it's like, kind of like life becomes like a walking meditation. And, you know, when I went to Vipassana, you wouldn't speak for like 10 days, but when you would walk as a meditation. So it was like, by the end of the retreat, my meditation never ended. And by the last night, I didn't sleep. And I didn't think. I just was, but I was completely energized and completely at peace. So it's kind of like that idea that the awareness, like we're learning to carry forward the awareness and embody the lessons.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were even talking about this, like in the tarot reading that we were doing this morning, but you know, an understanding of a lot of the wisdom that goes hand in hand with this rules for being a human, you know, it's interesting. It's like rules for being a human, ... for like a higher dimensional being pretending to be a human. And so, you know, the rules for being a human are like written from the perspective. It's just like, well, if I'm being a human, then like, what am I actually like? What are the rules outside of this rules? If these are the rules specifically for being a human, like what are the rules beyond this one? Right. So it's like, you know, this is obviously the what we're recognizing as these quote unquote rules. Again, you know, it's like the code of the simulation that is designed to birth our consciousness. And so this is where, with what you're saying, it's so fascinating right now, because we literally are in this age where, just to put it practically, you know, you hear some people and they get into this idea of just like ascension, and ascension being such a powerful word, and what does ascension mean? And I know a lot of people have kind of gone through this process where they're exploring that term and they're just like, am I supposed to like phase myself out of this reality? But I think a big part of it, very simply put, is like the anchoring in of that 5D awareness, that ascended awareness into the physical vessel, into the body. So it's like, you know, literally this process of like becoming becoming a cup, becoming a channel. And it's interesting because this is some deep stuff, and we'll just chat about this for a little bit. Joshua, I'd love to give you a chance to tell people about what it is that you got coming up. I know you got some cool things for the community you want to share with this. So, sure. Totally, man. Well, one of the things that's interesting is like even the word you, Y-O-U, the word you. If you look at that word, it's an interesting word. And the reason for that is like the word you, literally like the letter U, it's a U. What does a U look like? A U is like a cup. A U is a bowl. A U is a chalice. So it's like you, what are you? You are this chalice. And the chalice is the body. And the chalice like holds this like golden elixir. And that golden elixir is consciousness. So, you know, over time, it's like, if this visual helps people, it's like your chalice, this body, is slowly like you're drip feeding this like golden liquid that's filling, you know, it's a consciousness rising, it's a consciousness shifting, and it's always been there. So it's not even so much as it's like filling, but it's however you measure it, it's very quantum. So it's not really like it was always there, but somehow it's like more there now. But anyways, it's again, you know, it's not, that's where the cup metaphor only has its limits, but it's really, again, it's like an attunement of frequency. And when you're in this frequency, the liquid that has always been there becomes visible. It's like, it was always there, but suddenly it like phases into this reality. So, to be able to perceive things in this idea, you know, this is where these rules, it's not so, just so much about being able to understand these rules, but it's like, okay, what do you do once you do understand them? And that's for me where, you know, these rules are just like kind of like the launch pad towards destiny, towards purpose, towards service, towards, you know, like the bodhisattva of being able to like help awaken others. And for me, and I'll just say this, where, you know, a big part of the reason why I've been so passionate about doing paradigm shift over these like years and years and years, and I've done this, and it's so exciting to see other people naturally doing similar things that I'm doing as well. Because like, for me, it was this idea of like, I knew through my own direct experience that whatever this consciousness shift is, the spirit, what this light, this awareness, like it's literally inside everyone. And so that's where, for me, it was very exciting, because it wasn't a matter of like, if I can change the world, it was more just like, how? So this idea of how is the idea of, you know, being there as a sacred mirror, quite literally, through action and service and purpose. And then other people, you know, over time, there's like, huh, like, what are you talking about? What's going on? And then eventually, they see their own spark. They see their own spark through you. And then kind of creates this like fractal ripple effect back and forth across the mirrors. And and then eventually, you know, we were just saying before, it's not, there is this idea of like peeling back the layers of the onion. But really, I think our journey is the opening of the pine cone, and the opening of the pine cone is the lessening, the lesson. Oh, it's kind of weird, lessening, as if that's a word, and lessons and lessening. That's weird.
Yeah.
but it's like lessening the obstruction that is the process of the pine cone opening as well. So, again, I'm just shooting the shift here, Joshua. Go ahead. Anything else you want to jump in on? Then we're close to wrapping up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the process of being that solid, clear channel that is also, there's a degree of emptiness. So the fluidity of that water, that like inner well of inspiration and wisdom that we become attuned to, like that's what I call like the inner source. Mm-hmm. And ultimately the source of our issues on the planet and the source of their solutions are within us. And so I like to think, like, when you think of a channel, I think of a river, right? In order for a river to flow, it needs the stones, which mm-hmm. then allows the water to carry, and there's a current. And so just like our central channel in our energy bodies is the same. Like in that episode of Avatar The Last Airbender, and they're teaching him about the chakras, and what do? They mm-hmm. remove the debris in each part of the dam, and then the water mm-hmm. flows into the next pocket, into the next chakra. Mm-hmm. So like that's why I like to think in terms of frequency and vibration, just like Nikola Tesla said, and then you bring it to a very simplicity, sound and color. There's seven major notes in it. There's seven notes in a major scale. There's mm-hmm. seven chakras. There's seven colors, major colors. And through the blending of those colors of consciousness, we experience this reality. But then the thing is that you are not just this. This is the instrument for you, because you are the awareness, right? And so then what happens is you awaken to being the dreamer. And then once you learn the attunement, because what we're talking about now is very deep. This is literally mystery school initiation stuff. Mm-hmm. When you learn the attunement practice, then you become the sculptor of your dream reality. You've gone like way deeper than what most things are out there about, like laws of attraction, even shifting your limiting beliefs. It's like way deeper than that. And I had to go through like an entire rabbit hole, because really nowadays what we're seeing is our artists and these beautiful people coming on Instagram and people sharing their journeys and their magic and stuff. This is like the kind of like our modern shamans, like a lot of people that are waking up and stepping into these leadership roles that aren't putting themselves above you, but then are treating you as like we're just all brothers and sisters here. But hey, we've gone down these super deep rabbit holes and gained all these treasures on our hero's journey through facing our shadows. And like, we're happy to help shine some light on some cavern ways where you can find your master sword and gain each of the core treasures that you need of the trifecta. That's what I loved about Zelda, by the way, because what it's talking about of the Triforce is the sacred geometry of creation. So first, he has to gain courage, which then leads him to power, and then he needs the wisdom to know how to use it. And once he has those three qualities, he can wield the master sword, which is Excalibur or whatever it is, like it is your power. So the imagery that I come when I think of us as the chalice, to me is kind of like a feminine quality where it's that nectar of the Holy Spirit. But there's a beautiful imagery of actually Excalibur merging, like coming down into the chalice. Instead of the sword and the stone, it's the sword and the chalice. So it's like once you've removed the sword from the stone, which is a metaphor for becoming one with the forces of nature, the king and the land are one. And then the knight goes on the quest for the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is the attainment of the sweetness of the love and the service to the kingdom and the healing of the land and order and balance and harmony. But they have to face all of this conflict and all this stuff. And then eventually they've got both the Excalibur and the Grail. And then they become one. It's your masculine and your feminine and becoming one. Yeah. And so everybody has their own unique love language to talk about alchemy. So that's what I'm supporting mystical artists and conscious creators in the Hollow Reed program that's coming out. So if anybody's interested in that, it's really my intention to let's keep the channel as clear as possible so that we can all like share our magic and weave this web, because it's all right here. Like literally now, today is not yesterday. I'm sorry, but it's all happening simultaneously. But this is literally the most coherent that we've ever been. We're bringing through the solutions for the new earth. It's on. I feel like it's clear sailing from here. Honestly, the challenges will not be over. We are in crazy times, but I believe that the evidence that the entire universe is conspiring to support us is like literally every time you eat.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's
really a miracle to even be breathing and have this experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yeah, man. Like it gets people hyped up just being able to talk about it. And I appreciate, again, you just being able to articulate it. And, you know, we can talk about like Arthurian legend and lore and heroes' journeys and lightsabers and Excaliburs all day. For those of you tuned in, I mean, like, come back to it. There will be more of it. Like, that's a huge mythos of what this is. And yeah, again, you know, so like, that's where just kind of getting close to wrapping up. And then I'll let Joshua just tell you a little bit more about his program that he's got coming up, which I'm really excited to be able to tell you guys more about. Within this, you know, just kind of concluding on this topic, it's like rules for being human handed down by ancient Sanskrit, which is what we were talking about today. It is, again, it's not just rules. It's like the roadmap, but then it's like, where does the road go beyond? You know, there are bigger maps still ahead. So once you kind of like attain this, like a lot of what's being talked about here, this process of acknowledging, you know, like the relationship to the body, the relationship as a student, the relationship of seeing each other in others, seeing yourself in others, the relationship of relationship through service, the relationship, the idea of like the power of thought, the idea of being able to know like the connection of wisdom within inside of you, and to go through this process of, again, like kind of like awakening through conscious amnesia, and even through the process of awakening, again, you know, the word awakening, which is a topic we can get into another time. The word awakening, a lot of people, you know, it's worth noting here that like awake, what is awake? Awake is something that you do following death. So the process of awakening literally like encodes with the concept of like something dying. So it's like, in order for you to awaken into more of who you are, again, it's like the death of the old self. And even still, you know, death is another word for transformation that we are experiencing. So, you know, this journey of awakening is, again, you know, it's the, what I like to think of as like the planted seed. It is the journey to lucidity. If using my own terms here from the Journey to Lucidity movie, which, you know, for those of you here, go watch the Journey to Lucidity movie, plug for the movie I put in, because that movie is like designed to be able to like reflect back this journey that we are going on, which again is what me and Joshua talk about quite frequently, this journey of like the guardian activating with inside of us. Like that is, it is the seed of the sacred guardian that has been put inside of us, the seed of a knight of the round table, of your queen Guinevere and your king Arthur, like both of them on the throne together. And like the knights of the round table, it's all you. So within this, you know, it's being able to like embody these lessons, but then how you carry that with you, the journey beyond this, you've cultivated this awareness. Now what, you know, how do you move forward into the land to still be able to discover the many lessons still ahead? Like, even as these rules imply, it's like, okay, you figured out the rules, and one of the rules is there's still more lessons. So it's like, get out there and see what lessons there are for you. And I know we almost have this resistance where it's like, lessons, I don't want more lessons. But again, lessons are journeys, lessons are chapters within your growth, lessons are opportunities, lessons are gifts. Lessons are you like finding like the pieces of yourself that are scattered throughout the lands of your journey, so to speak. So Joshua, thank you so much for joining us here today. I'll pass it over to you just with any closing thoughts on this. And for those of you here, stick around. Joshua's going to tell you a little bit more about a program that he's got going on. I recommend you guys connect with Joshua. Again, Joshua, you can find him on Instagram, Joshua B. Faust, and we'll include the link for that in the info for this video. So be sure to reach out to him and send him a direct message. But yeah, Joshua, closing thoughts on this, and then let us know a little bit more about what you got going on.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ben. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And really, it is like a quest of our awakening. And it's not just because eventually when you go like and you were to attain a lot of these external things that we are capable of doing, eventually you would see that what a lot of people think about, the external doesn't bring fulfillment. I don't believe that that's actually what it's about. I believe that every quest that has some kind of external token is, in a sense, like I was talking about the hollow reed, where it's like you're both solid, but you're empty, you're clear, it flows through you. Those things that we want to manifest, they're kind of like a hollow coin. Like the thing itself has an energy within us. It's about the energy within us. There's a reason why you want to create certain things in your experience. So for me, it also comes back to what is your quest about? Like, what is your true purpose in life? What is your calling? What is it that the manifestation of that vehicle or that beautiful lover or that money or that house or that trip to Bali or whatever, what is it that would bring you internally? And what is it that is your higher mission and both your personal purpose and your passion because ultimately, like, these are kind of just like, if you guys ever played RuneScape or Skyrim or whatever, any game that was like an RPG, it's like you've got an inventory full of these items, but they're basically useless unless you have some kind of purpose. And it's kind of like we're all these characters where it's like, yeah, you've got these amazing tools. You can build up these skills and these talents and these you can connect with guilds and other people that are doing things of a certain resonance to create. And it's an adventure of consciousness that's ever unfolding. So that's my thought on that. And then, like, how it relates to the Hollow Reed is that the way that I see is there's a song of spirit within each of us. So there's a unique transmission that wants to come through you. There's an expression, a soul song, like a spark of creativity. And it is that source within you. And it wants to come through you. It's like the seed of life that gradually blossoms into the flower. And it's that unique geometric unfoldment. There's this perfect lotus within you. And it's like part of the practice is going into the mud and facing your shadows and your trials and your shit, basically. Because inside of all of it, when we choose to go out and face the day, what we're doing is we're showing up fully in our presence to life to receive those lessons, which bring us those upgrades, activate those codes within our DNA, help us to see new perspectives and vantage. And ultimately, the more, because purpose is not a thing that you just achieve once. It is a lived practice of continuing to answer the call of the passion moment to moment to moment. Because anytime you finally reach that ledge, there's always another ledge. There's always another mountain. And they all eventually lead to the same place. So for me, it's like, why are you on the journey? And like, what is the message of awakening that is coming through you? Like that kind of, and that's what I want to help support ultimately, is like people to step into their truth. It's really about stepping into your truth. And I'm really big on inner alchemy. So I also do like transformational inner alchemy sessions, working with energy and archetypes. But ultimately what it is, it's an attunement to our inner truth so that we can become a hollow reed, which is a vessel for spirit to flow through us and create from that place of true integrity with the soul seed of our consciousness. And that doesn't, because you're not just creating content or art or services or helping people or doing work and building things. Those are all like the external reflection of what the work, the inner work, the great work that we're doing. And that's what's creating the new earth. So, I'm here to support the leaders of the leaders, because ultimately, we are the ones, so wait no longer.
Yeah, man. So just before we get wrapped up here again, for those of you who are just tuned in, so Hollow Reed, tell us a little bit more. Like, that's an upcoming, like you're bringing together like a mentorship group essentially, right? Can you just tell us just kind of the quick synopsis for that? And again, just keeping in mind everything Joshua said is like basically like what being involved with the group would help you kind of like activate within yourself or tap into or feel supported in. But yeah, tell us a little bit more about like the mentorship group that you got going on and anything else people need to know about that, and then we'll be done for the day.
Thank you. So yeah, so it's an 8-week alchemical container that's has like course materials for yourself to activate different archetypes of embodying the Hollow Reed and how you're basically tuning in, like doing the inner work and then also doing the expression work, which is like expressing the different kind of modes. And I call them the bard arts, which is like singing, poetry, dance. Maybe it's creating digital art for you, but everybody has their own unique muses. Maybe you're a conscious media creator. Maybe you like doing videos. Maybe you like speaking. Maybe you like, everybody's got their flavor of their thing. This is specifically for mystical artists who are shifting consciousness. So the program is basically a journey of moving through these different archetypes. One week we're working with the Jedi, and we're really focusing on working with our force and how to cultivate your inner chi and your sexual energy to channel it into creativity. Another week we're really focusing on the muses and like how to work with different like creative like devas or deity forces to channel into like higher streams of consciousness in your creativity. Another week we're focusing on the natural elements, and it's the druid archetype. So basically I'm creating a container for it's both a course and it's also a basically like a group coaching kind of thing where we meet once a week. So the beginning of the week, you get like the activation and you get the course material. And then at, later in the week, we'd have like a group that meets together. And it's launching within like, I haven't set the official date, but within the next couple weeks to a month is when it starts. But registration is opening now, and it's already been open for a few days, so it's going to be closed by then. And I'm only working with this initial offering, really calling in those guardians and those mystical artists and those people who are channels, basically. Yeah, channels and visionaries wanting to basically bring the message through in a way that's like really an integrity that lights your spark. So it's like,
awesome, dude.
I call it like pursuing your purpose through your passion and fulfilling your message through your mission. So that's what it's meant to help do.
Yeah, man. I love it. I'm all about it. And again, you know, for those of you who are interested, who feel resonant with it as well, the link is in Joshua's profile link. So if you guys jump over there, you can check out more about the Hollow Reed program. And let Joshua know if you're interested. Send him a DM. You'll be hearing more about it, even just within the Paradigm Shift Central community through our Discord server. And yeah, Joshua, dude, thank you so much, man. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for anchoring in this energy with me here today. So.
Thank you so much. And, beautiful. And thank you for cultivating the space.
Awesome, man. Well, with that said, we'll wrap it up here. Again, just encouraging everyone to connect with Joshua and any of the creators that you hear in when we do the Shooting the Shift podcast, which is, again, is live Mondays at 4 p.m. EDT. And yeah, for those of you watching this on Instagram, be sure to jump over to YouTube, Skull Babylon, or Spotify, Paradigm Shift Radio. And if you guys want to connect further to the community, there's a Discord server, which I would encourage you to join, where you can get more information, like events hosted by Joshua and otherwise, other awesome people. And yeah, and we'll just be wrapping it up here today. Joshua is ready to be able to go off on some more adventures. And again, everybody here, real quick,
continues.
Be sure to check out the Patreon if you guys want to get involved further with membership. I'm here to be able to help support fellow conscious creators like Joshua and creators supporting creators. It's a pretty awesome cycle we got going on here. So, oh man, I can like, was that a rose? I can like smell it. Oh, I can like smell that rose. Man, roses have like such a significance to me. I was like given a rose by like Alma, the hugging saint, when she hugged me on my birthday one year. That was like a powerful
moment. So,
story for another time. But yes, Joshua, thank you so much, man. Everybody here on YouTube, links for the info for this video as well as on Spotify. And everything you need is in my profile link as well. So Joshua, join me in saying farewell and until next time. And thank you again, everyone. So bye, everyone. Keep it shifty, guys. The guardians within us honor the guardian within you. So, all right, talk to you later, Joshua. Thanks again, everyone.
It's shift time. Love you.